You're listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network, now the largest new media platform on the web and your number one source for after-show entertainment.
Very good, Gene
Johnson.
From the AfterBuzz Studios in Los Angeles, California, presented by Maria Menounos and Bing.com, and streaming live thanks to Akamai Technologies, this is AfterBuzz TV's Real Housewives of New York City After Show. We'll break down tonight's episode and get you all the latest news and gossip. If you'd like to buzz in on tonight's show, you can buzz us at 424-256-1729. That's 424-256-1729. And now, another post-game wrap-up show for your favorite TV show. It's AfterBuzz TV's Real Housewives of New York City After Show.
Yay. Hey, everybody. Bing is for doing, and we're here doing another AfterBuzz TV After Show of The Real Housewives of New York City, Season 5, Episode 5. The cool girls.
Cool girls.
Very cool. I am Anna Koppel. Sitting in studio with me here tonight is
Yermon Gur.
And of course, joining us live via satellite is our beloved host.
It's your lovely Kristen Carney.
Via satellite. She's on location.
She has things to do, guys.
She's on location from a remote location.
So, Kristen, take
I'm
us
on
away.
The most unimportant location job of all time. I am sitting in a kitchen with a dog. Eating a banana. So we're really getting stuff done here.
Let's do it.
That really paints a picture for us. So, Kristen, do you want to take us away here?
Yeah, sure. We just watched some of The Real Housewives, we didn't get intro to any new topics. Really, as of yet, so we're still focusing on kind of the same old problems that we've been focusing on for the first four episodes and now the fifth. So we saw the same stuff going on with Heather and Ramona. We heard a little bit more about Carol's career and some stuff with Heather's son that we haven't seen. But for the most part, it's kind of been the same old, yet same old, same fun. Today, I kind of wanted to start with Heather and Ramona. I don't know, I guess, do you guys think this is beating a dead horse, continuing this?
To put it lightly.
Yeah, I mean, I get it. They don't get along. They drag everybody into the same nonsense. She said, she said. I will say that Ramona did an impression of Heather that was spot on. I really enjoyed it.
I know, and I actually was a little bit jealous because I did the impression last week and I felt like it couldn't be topped, and I thought she topped me.
Yeah. Yeah, no, it was really good. She gets more one-on-one time with her, though, a little more FaceTime, so yeah.
Right, she gets the real experience.
Right.
I don't know. I'm sure there are a lot of people that are fans of Ramona, and if you're out there, you know, holler back, post some comments, but I can't handle that woman's mannerisms anymore. It's just too difficult for me to watch her move. That's how there's so much movement. There's eyes bugging. She's in, she's out. She's all over the place. Her eyes, her hands. It's just too much to take in. Anyone that would be in front of me acting that way would immediately lose any sort of maturity points / I'll take you seriously points. It's just really hard for me to quote unquote watch her work.
Well, she's very busy.
What it seems to be is that, like, if you put your car in drive and you rev the end, or if your car's in park, that's a horrible analogy. Your car's in park and you rev the engine. If you rev the engine, like, you're in one spot, but, like, the speedometer goes up, the RPMs go up, and the sound goes louder. And it's almost like that's how I feel like Ramona is. It's like she is revving, like, the more issues she's having with Heather, it's like the more her engine is revving and she can't control her craziness. So, you know, it's like her eyes go more, her voice gets louder. It's like the same as the car. And I think Ramona's just having a really hard time dealing with the fact that Heather is kind of in control of her and Ramona is not winning. And it's, I think, driving Ramona crazy.
I don't know what you're talking about, Chris. I thought that was a phenomenally poignant analogy. I was like, oh my God, that is well done. Well done.
Agreed. Yeah, Ramona's used to having things her way and having people, I think, on her side. And if she doesn't have them on her side, then, you know, she has a full case against them of why they're an idiot or whatever. So I think this is difficult for Ramona. Everybody is sort of, I don't want to say Team Heather, but they're certainly playing nice with her going to London. And it's hard for Ramona to take in.
I don't know.
Plus, she's drunk all the time.
Yeah. Well, that's what happens when you drink your own juice. I understand the bit about how with these kinds of shows, you know, everyone's supposed to go on the trip, so to speak. But I know that there are plenty of people, including Anna, who may not necessarily be like the biggest fans of Heather. But I do kind of respect Heather for sticking to her guns and saying no. And not in the sense that she's not going to invite Ramona, just in the sense that she doesn't feel compelled to be her fan. She doesn't feel the need to make bygones be bygones in the sense that, like, okay, well, everything is honky-dory. We have no problems. She's trying to be civil. She tries to engage in public, you know, situations with Ramona and everybody else there. But when it comes time to brass tacks, she's not like, okay, well, no problem, Ramona. You can come to London. We can be best friends. She's not doing it. And I kind of dig that about her.
What I don't think about that is that she's sticking to her guns, which is awesome, but she's so fake in front of Ramona, the way she behaves with her, it's almost like she's leading her on.
I agree.
Exactly.
Is Ramona being genuine, like, though?
Of course Ramona is. I mean, it's like the housewives. I don't expect any of them to actually be genuine for the most part. However, it's like when she invited Ramona to go shopping, don't invite Ramona to go shopping. If you don't want her anywhere, then if you don't want her to go with you somewhere to London, then don't invite her anywhere. It's like, it's very misleading, and it gives like different vibes. What vibe should I pick up on? Do you want me here? Or do you not want me here? And then, you know, there was a shot where they were in the shop with Heather and Ramona, and Heather's arm was like going down Ramona's back, like, oh, we're such good friends. And clearly, you know, Heather doesn't like her. They're not good friends. But the behavior of like, hi, is, if you want to be ballsy and you want to stick to the fact that you don't like Ramona, then don't like Ramona to her face.
I hear you.
Go ahead. I definitely understand where you're going with that. I do think that there is a slight distinction. It seems to me that Heather is trying to make the distinction between liking someone unequivocally and incorporating them into a scenario where her business might also be reflected by her social circles, in the sense that I understand that everyone's technically being fake to each other's face to a certain extent. And I did also kind of feel weird about why then Heather was all kind of touchy-touchy at when they were shopping together. At the same time, I think her biggest argument in terms of not inviting Ramona to London and not engaging in that specific area is because she doesn't want someone like Ramona, who clearly has problems controlling her bodily movements, in front of people that could potentially be business partnerships with her internationally and could reflect on her business.
I think that's an excuse that Heather's using, because that's not Heather's number one motivation. When she didn't invite Ramona, it wasn't like it came from the fact that she thought about her business first. It was that she thought about how much she didn't like Ramona first, and then added that in as an excuse, like, oh, well, if I just say this, then it will sound more legit.
Gotcha.
I just blame. But when you go to a business thing, do you bring your friends along? It's not a field trip. So,
right.
To go out to London and have things going on with her business partners or business people, you know, maybe they might meet up for drinks afterward, but it's not like she's going to bring Ramona into the conference room and let Ramona lead a meeting to make her brand look so horrible.
Well,
so I think it's just a bad excuse But I know I shouldn't want to bring her, but I don't think she should use that as an excuse, because I think it's a bad excuse.
Well,
you're not buying
if that,
transparent.
If that is an excuse, and I think it actually is a valid point. I don't think she means it, but I do think it is a valid point. There are certain people that that I never want to be associated with. That I never. No, I mean it's
no,
true.
Valid,
but there's
true.
Certain people where, like, if I just don't want to be seen with them. I don't want, you know, so they're not in my life.
Uh-huh.
And especially in a business like Heather's, where she pretty much everywhere she goes is a networking opportunity. Shopping, especially, she's in a clothing line, an undergarment line. But, you know, she always has an opportunity to network. And, you know, there's always a chance to run into somebody. I feel if she really meant that Ramona was a poor reflection or could somehow affect her business, then mm-hmm. they should never be spending time together.
Gotcha.
If it really feels that way.
They shouldn't be on TV together. It's like, Heather, that cover's blown. Like, everyone knows you associate
gotcha.
With Ramona.
So both of you are not buying it.
You're not fooling anybody by hiding her away. It's going to be on national television.
So
right,
both of you are not buying it. You'd prefer for her to be kind of it's sticking to her guns in the sense that it should be all or nothing. You either
right.
are a fan or you aren't a fan. You can't be wishy-washy and halfway.
Yes.
Right, exactly.
Gotcha.
But speaking about being a fan, I do want to say thanks to everybody listening on iTunes for sharing with your friends and for downloading. It's really awesome for us at AfterBuzz for you to rate and comment. So please rate and comment. It's super awesome of you, and we really appreciate it, and we read them. So if you want to communicate with us, you can do it through Twitter, but also through the iTunes comment page. And we always try to answer all your suggestions and everything. So if we're missing on anything or we're really doing something awesome, let us know. And thanks again for listening. But I'm going to awkwardly get back into
Kristen,
the conversation.
iTunes also recently came out with an app. It's the podcast app,
yeah.
Which is awesome. They came out with it about a week ago. And it's an awesome download. It organizes all of your podcasts, and it's cool. You don't have to flip through all of your iTunes to find the podcast
right.
that you want to listen to. It also makes it easier for you to rate and comment. So just to bring it full circle.
Use it.
It's a really cool app. It really is.
Yeah, and it's free. It's free. It's free.
Absolutely. And free or the best.
So not that the housewives need anything
yes.
free, but yeah, I mean, I just feel like with Heather, you know, being so strongly opinionated in her interview and then going right back to being fake, she's not doing herself a favor with Ramona. It's going to, you know, continue on. If she really was mature and really wanted to nip it in the bud and have nothing to do with Ramona, she would say to her face stop doing Housewives show. But
well, that's what I was wondering is that possible where you could just technically as a cast member disavow, but could you just say, okay, you and I are done and still be in the show? Or is it contractually, are you contractually obligated to interact no matter what? I mean, is that possible even?
I mean, that's like a good point. I think it'd be interesting to see that happen, but I also think it would close off the viewers from a lot of the drama. So I would assume
right.
that Bravo would say, listen, you want to be on the show, you got to interact with everybody. That's the point. That's fun.
So I'm wondering if that's what's forcing them to have to kind of be kind of halfway instead of, I don't know if Heather wouldn't be like, all right, you're whack.
That's
I'm
just another
here.
Point. I mean, I think that is contractually obligated. However, I've seen housewives leave shows for this reason, because they
okay.
don't like the person or they don't want to be associated or the person's bringing too much drama into their life. So, I mean, I feel like if Heather really meant it, like, so part of her is loving this high school drama crap. She's, I don't know, she's getting something from it. But if she truly felt like this person is poison in my life, then she wouldn't be on the show. She would be like, you know, thanks for the opportunity, but no thanks.
Do you two feel,
do
either of you girls feel like, we had touched on it, I think, last show, the fact that both these girls are kind of bosses, both these women are bosses, and they're used to getting their way. Could it be that both of them, neither of them would want to leave the show because they kind of want to win in the end? Like, you know, obviously Ramona wants Heather to kind of be like, I'm sorry, I'm an idiot, I like you. Or, and then on the other side, Heather be like, all right, I was wrong. And, you know, are basically, God, I don't know what I'm trying to say here. Are both of them trying to win? Is that why they're both still in it, so to speak, in the game?
Yeah, well, I mean, I think what we have is like a case of senioritis. It's like when you're in high school and you're a senior and like the kids below you, that you know, they don't intimidate you. You control the school kind of deal. And it's weird when there's like an overthrow of that social norm when, like, maybe a sophomore is now cooler than a senior. It's almost like that's how Heather is with Ramona, because Ramona's been on the show. She was the queen of the show. And now all of a sudden this new girl's coming in who's not
a cool girl.
Who doesn't have the seniority. Yeah, and she is now the cool girl. And, I mean, again, that's throwing Ramona's eyes into this, like, electric pit. It's like she can't seem to comprehend how this is happening. And I definitely think it has to do with the boss thing, but I think it also has to do with, like, the seniority thing, or, like, you know, Ramona's got to be thinking a little bit, like, honey, this is my territory, and you're coming in and you're making me look uncool? Like, that's not cool, you know?
Gotcha.
Yeah, but definitely agree with the boss thing. I mean, they're both all high-powered, very controlling women, and, of course, I think they're going to want to argue for the title.
Well, speaking of high-powered controlling and titles, found out that that Carol is a princess.
Yes.
That was revealed to Ramona. We kind of knew that already.
Yeah.
We knew that from episode one.
Yes.
I think. But Ramona was all over that because she had one-upped Luann, or she was over Luann.
Well, what was the deal with how Ramona was all over that? I mean, she's a princess by marriage. It's not like
her husband's dead.
The royal family of Poland. Poland has been like, the royal family's there, but they've gone through a lot more now since then. They've kind of moved on from the royal family. It's not like she's, I don't know, Princess Diana's level or some other royal family that's still very much in the forefront of either news or the social media. What was the deal with that reaction?
Well, I think Ramona is just so happy that Luann is no longer the royalty of the clan. It's like, yes, finally, the woman I hate is now dethroned. So Ramona, I just think, was like, you know, the bride doesn't care if she actually meets a princess. It's that it makes Luann look not as good.
And I think it does make Luann look not as good, not because of the title, but because Carol treats it like a normal person ought to. Oh, we don't have kings and queens and princesses in America, so we don't acknowledge that here.
Right.
So, and I love that she gets that, and she's just very down to earth about it. And
I even like the fact that she makes a quip about the fact that she's a princess, but she's not a drama queen. I thought that's pretty smart. I don't know. That's just me.
Yeah.
Well, what happens to princess, like, if the husband dies, who is the prince, who made you a princess, if he dies and then gets remarried, are you an ex-princess, or do you still, I imagine you have to lose your, you have to lose your crown or something, right?
I don't think she's reigning over
lands.
Over lands, yeah. So it's not really a concern.
That she's in charge of? No.
Right, but I'm wondering how long the title lasts. Because it's like, well, once your husband's gone, it's like you should probably just kind of let go of the title a little bit.
Well,
like
I mean,
she does. Carol's super cool about it.
Even after.
But eventually, seems like you would not be a princess anymore.
Even after Prince Charles did, I mean, they technically did officially divorce with Princess Diana, correct? But she was still technically considered Princess Diana, if I'm not mistaken.
Right.
Yeah, so I don't know. I don't know in the event of death. I mean, obviously, if she were to remarry, she would probably then give up. I don't know. Again, it's just it's the question is how, you know, entrenched is the royal family within Polish affairs?
Well, I'm sure it also has something to do with who is next to take the throne.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like Prince Harry is not supposed to be, but he's still a prince. Whoever he marries will be a princess, but it's not really her concern because he's not.
He's not the next in line.
Right.
Yeah.
So I'm sure that factors in. I'm not sure where Carol's deceased husband falls in line.
Yeah, I mean, he could be like the 17th kid. No one knows. We don't know.
We
should do a little research.
Well, I hate to say it, but I just think Carol's getting cooler and cooler.
Yes, say it. It's okay. Come to my side.
I'm like, no, don't think someone on the Housewives is cool, but I think Carol is so fucking cool. Like
you sound like a diva.
She says she's funny. She is. I didn't hear what you just said, but I'm sure it was awesome. She is. Or making fun of me, either one.
No.
It was a little of both.
She is very funny. She's witty. She's very dry and sarcastic. She doesn't take anything really seriously. She's got a great body. I mean, her teeth, so, you know, I don't think her teeth are cool. But it's like the whole thing, it just keeps getting better because last episode, she had about 20 good quotes or funny quotes, or she named things funny. And then she did it again this episode, even more.
Yeah.
It's like sickening how cool she is now.
Absolutely. No, go ahead. I think you were going to say something.
I was just going to say that if you missed any of these quotes, you could. They're available for download via Amazon, and all of your online shopping can be done on Amazon now through mm-hmm. AfterBuzz TV. If you just go to AfterBuzz TV and click on the Amazon banner at the top of the page, it'll take you right there. And it's really cool because Amazon just gives us a little bit of a kickback from whatever purchases are made, so it doesn't cost you anything extra, and you don't have to type in any weird codes. But it does help us. So
buy things on Amazon.
Woo woo! That's the message.
AfterBuzz. Thank you. No, but back to your point, Chris, I totally agree with you. I mean, I definitely have been on the camp. Can we call it Camp Carol? I've been in Camp Carol for a while. And oddly enough, I know that we were thinking at first that her, not ambiguity, but the fact that she's kind of in the middle and not really choosing a side or doesn't seem to be as dynamically once, like she's not angry, she's not an extremely, a gregarious person in the sense that she's not making any like leaps and bounds emotionally speaking, but her neutrality is actually coming in handy and becoming more and more entertaining to watch amidst the fact that all these people continue to talk about the same things and argue about the same things over and over again, episode after episode. It's actually coming in handy. She's entertaining to watch because of the very thing that made her not stand out in the beginning.
Go ahead.
No, you go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say she's almost like a Bethany replacement in a sense, because Bethany, I thought, was really funny and really dry. Obviously, they have very different jaw lines, but they both brought like a sense of realism or like rational thinking to the show. And when Bethany left, I thought that was gone. And in a crazy way, I thought Ramona kind of took over Bethany's voice in a sense, which is kind of sad to say. But now that Carol's in the picture, I think Carol's funny. I think Carol could really become like a Bethany in the sense that she might, even though that I don't think Carol's as entertaining as Bethany, because Bethany did get involved with fights and drama. But I do think that Carol has the potential to possibly maybe win over America the way Bethany did, because Bethany now is like a trillionaire and doesn't have to talk to any of the housewives. I feel like Carol, maybe that's like a slight prediction, maybe going to that after a season or two if people look at her the way I look at her. But who knows? People don't always see things the way I do, which is ridiculous. But yeah, I don't know. What do you guys think? Is she staying? I know, Yerman, you just said that, you know, you think she's entertaining. Do you think she's entertaining on there, or do you think she's a little boring like that?
I mean, I feel like I keep watching this and I'm like, is she Carrie Bradshaw? Is she like, is this secretly like Candace Bushnell's like gone onto the Housewives to retell her story? It's bizarre, right?
Now, do you say that because of what actually happened in this towards the end of the show?
Yes.
Because of the parallel that I'm sure all of America made when the certain development was unveiled?
Well, that she, first of all, beginning with she was a journalist, then she wrote this book. It's about sex and dating after the loss of a husband. It's about sex and dating in New York. And so now she's going on these research dates, you know.
And what's going to happen?
And now they're turning her book into a series.
Weird. Does this sound familiar? Public,
yeah,
speak up.
It is really mirrored.
I'm like, didn't they do this already?
I love the element of death. Like, if Sex and the City, because I think Sex and the City maybe had like a couple episodes that had a little bit of a death element, like, when Miranda dated a guy and he died and he didn't show up for the date and she was mad at him because he wouldn't show up, he was dead. Like,
right.
Second City, not as dark, but I think if it's done, if her series, I definitely think she's undercover Carrie, but I think if her series does...
Great moniker.
Does, yeah. So, if she does go around into, like, into her own series, I think she should, first of all, probably get off Housewives, because I don't think that would legitimize her own series, like an actual television show.
Right.
I don't think people
Agreed.
Would take her as seriously.
Agreed. Mm.
Yeah. So I think, that would be one thing. But I do think the element of death, I love satirizing death, because death is like bizarre and hilarious. And so if people are ready for something like that with Sex and the City, I think she could potentially kind of be her. But who knows?
She she has that love for fashion. They go to the vintage stores, and
right.
she had like the same fur coats that I'm pretty sure were over in 99. Like, Right. You know, so it's
that's awesome.
But right.
1999 called. They want their fur coats back.
Yeah. No, really. And like these like leopard fur coats are not. I mean, and Carrie could pull them off because we love Carrie and we love her crazy fashion. But
well, I mean, in one sense, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off. But I know that you guys, I think even in last week had made an allusion to this or a comment about it, and maybe in other episodes of ours. But I know that some of y'all think that, you know, the other women are well put together. I actually don't agree with that. I think out of the entire bunch, for me personally, Carol is always the most well put together. Like the, I know that you all didn't like that outfit she wore when she pulled her hair back very tightly into a bun and had like a black at Sonia's event. And you all said she didn't look as good,
like,
but
she
looked very Carrie-esque to me for one thing. But she's always, whether she's wearing a Letterman's jacket to a casual lunch or an evening dress to a high to do, or whatever that is, old English phrase, but she always seems to me the most well put together out of all of them in terms of her hair not necessarily looking like it needs some conditioner or an outfit that's like, what are you doing? Put it better together. She just looks more polished to me.
That's fair.
Yeah, well, she has that avant-garde Carrie Bradshaw thing where, like, sometimes, you know, you saw Carrie walk in with a cape on and you were like, Carrie, come on. But yeah, that's the same reason you loved her.
Right.
Yeah, it's growing on me with Carol. I see it. I get her style perspective. At first, I was kind of like, the age thing maybe with the short shorts. But now it's like, okay, I'm starting to like her, so I'm allowing her in my mind to wear a Letterman jacket to lunch. Even though I think that's super cool. Like when I was in high school, I would try to wear things that didn't seem appropriate for the time and try to make it stylish.
Mm-hmm.
But not nearly as cool as Carol.
I mean, she has a sense of humor about it. Maybe some of the things she wears isn't something that somebody her age may always be appropriate to wear or something, but she has a sense of humor about it. She's not trying to be a younger version of herself. She's just trying funky things out, and sometimes she's the one like, well, I try to do funky things. What are you going to do?
Yeah, no? Well, I think the parallel of Carrie and her is now going to drive me crazy because it's so right, and I'm going to watch it, and I'm just going to look for things. I'm going to be like, every time I see a guy, I'm going to like see if they don't call him by his real name and just call him like some weird secret thing like
yeah.
Blake or something.
Yeah. Well, and she went on that date with that guy, this guy. What's going on with this guy?
So, ladies and gentlemen, if you all didn't get it, he's Turkish, which actually, oddly enough, so am I. And I, for the life of me, could not decipher his name. Payman is what she kept calling him. Now, of course, it's quite possible if he is in the fashion industry, he either changed his name or kind of differentiated it somehow from the original Turkish name that it was meant to be. But I did not understand what the heck his name is. But you got to admit, he's intense. He was a little bit...
Wait, can we also all agree that he's lying about his age? 31. If he's 31, honey, I'm 14. That's ridiculous.
Well, it's conceivable.
No.
Okay.
If he is 31, he's done a lot of drugs and he's seen a lot in his life. There's been a lot of stress because the age on him is closer to 41.
Yeah, well, I don't know. I mean, it definitely could be in his late 30s. I don't know if he'd be late 40s because it's possible. Obviously, just having a more of an unpolished, like a grizzlier look, 5 o'clock shadow, kind of scruffy hair a little bit. It did age him a little bit more. If he'd, I don't know, clean shaven, you know, short cropped hair, who knows?
10 years younger.
No, maybe. Yeah.
yeah, maybe.
Well, I mean.
You guys keep talking amongst yourself. I have a little distraction at the moment.
Oh, okay.
Well, it was it was an interesting date. He definitely was very intense. I have absolutely no idea what he was trying to say when she thought he said the word pussy. I have no idea what the heck he even thought he was supposed to say afterwards when he corrected himself. Did you catch that, Anna?
I have no idea what he's talking about.
Something. Did they say speeches? I honestly rewound it like 10 times. I could not get it on up volume. Nothing. Speeches or whatever the heck. But, you know, it's like... He was very intense. He was kind of...
I dug his red buttons.
Yes. Came from the office. You know, he came from the office.
Yeah.
No?
It's fashion forward. He came right from the office and it's fashion forward. Well, but he does work in fashion, so it's possible.
Yeah.
It's entirely possible.
Yeah.
I love how angry Carol got when he was going to maybe meet Herman Cain to give him clothes. This is like a really big opportunity for him in his career, actually.
Right.
She got so angry and defensive.
Did you guys catch that look when she had that code? Like,
are you a Republican? Wait.
Are you a Republican?
And see, that's not so cool of Carol.
Like,
But it's not so cool because that's just being hateful. And
well, if she's a news correspondent from the old days, wouldn't she just be a little more impartial or show an objectivity in your political, persuasions?
Yes. You would think.
Yes. Yes. I was like, yes.
She ought to be, especially with a camera in her face.
Yeah. Yeah. She definitely, I mean, that's definitely one thing I thought was interesting, that she showed so much aversion to the idea of being Republican or being anywhere near one.
Right. Yeah. God forbid you should dress one and have your career take off.
Yeah. Well, the guy made a valid point. He's like, well, I can't speak for his his life.
He's like, I can't help that.
He's like, but he needs suits.
Yeah. Yeah.
That was great. He's like, look, I make suits.
Yeah.
I don't know what you want me to do.
That guy wears suits. Yeah. Why can't he wear my suits?
Yeah, exactly. You know, what are you going to do? He's in fashion business. Somebody notable wanted him to make suits. So what is he supposed to do?
Suit him up. That's what he's supposed
to do.
That's
what I'm saying.
Settle down, Carol. Get out of here with your political agenda.
That's what I'm saying. But, you know, it was an interesting, and I don't understand what that date eventually, I mean, so she's just going to go out with him because of the research aspect, or was she actually, did you get that she was maybe intrigued?
She told him that it was research. Now, I'm not sure what it was exactly that she was researching, maybe Republicans.
Well, she's researching for her book, right?
I understand, but I don't understand what he specifically, what she, I don't know, maybe just any guy. But I don't know if there was some sort of agenda around, you know, I'm going to date a guy in fashion, or I'm going to date a bartender. I'm going to date a political guy, you know. So, which is something Carrie would do.
Right.
By the way.
Right.
So I don't know if that was, there was something about him, there was agenda around him, but, or if it was just any date with any, or if she's proving to Russ that, you know,
she's cool with everything. Attractive to other people.
Yeah. You know,
she could date if she wanted to.
I mean, we're dating, but I can still see guys for drinks.
Well, yeah, I mean, go ahead, Chris.
Sorry, guys, I'm going to jump back in real quick. Did you guys talk about how he was 31?
Yes.
Yeah.
And Anna is not buying it. You?
I'm not buying it. I'm not buying it. I don't know why he would feel, like, compelled to say. It's like if someone asked me how old I was, I wouldn't say 16, because clearly I would look like a nut job. If I did, I'd say I'm 24. You know, like, do something that sounds like slightly realistic.
That's what I said. I said if he's 31, I'm 14. So we're on the same page about that.
So none of you guys are buying that he's anywhere near 31. Where are you both putting him?
I'm saying between 37 and 42.
Did you say 34, Anna?
I said between 37 and 42.
Oh, wow. Yeah. In her age, that's what she said.
I think she said 37 to 45.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do we know how old she is?
I don't know if we've ever, I don't know myself personally. I don't know if she's ever made an allusion to it. I'm pretty sure she hasn't.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't think she said between 37 and 42. I believe she's definitely to the upper end of that. If not more, possibly.
Yeah.
She seems like a cougar. She really does.
Well, I mean, she didn't have any problem with that guy's age when she was trying to hit on that model guy in the, what was it, episode 2 or whatever, when they're shopping. And she's like, oh, that's going to look so great on your girlfriend. Is she a model? And he's like, yeah, well, I'm a model. And she's like, oh, my God, you're so hot right now. Please. And
that guy was like 23.
Yeah, that dude definitely was like 16. So it doesn't, I don't see why she all of a sudden is selective in her, you know, differentiation between some model guy that she saw and this dude, you know.
Right, that's a good point. I think she's definitely the woman who looks to go out with people who build her self-esteem.
Yeah. Yeah, she's that girl. Yeah.
Well, he wasn't really that not, I mean, he definitely seemed to be intrigued by the whole thing, and he seemed to be kind of, you know, he was asking her questions, no? Wasn't he not kind of?
Well, that's what we're saying, is that they feed her ego.
Right.
I've definitely hung out with some zeros in, like, my lower times in life when I'm feeling super depressed about, like, me and my life and what's going on. I mean, like, hang out with some guy who's just, like, all about me. I'm like, oh, this is nice, you know? This is
zeros. Just straight zeros? Not even, like, a one or a two. Like, is it even possible for a dude to be a zero?
This guy's a loser, I'm telling
zero.
You.
Zero. Like, you don't even rate on the scale. You don't even have a number designation. Zero.
Yeah.
It seems like that guy is now very well prepped for a job interview, because that dating thing to me seemed way more like question and answer than it did like actually just having a conversation.
Well, yeah, I mean, I don't know. I haven't been on too many blind dates, but it seems like they did have a little more of a, so what do you do? And well, how much do you make? And what's that on your collar?
Yeah. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. And do you ever blow your, the good question, though, was do you ever blow your nose in the handkerchief?
Yeah, that, I mean, these are questions that need answers, you
yes,
know?
Yes. I'm pretty sure that was also not 1999, maybe even
in
way earlier.
She is.
She's like a fact-finding mission. Like, do you blow your nose on that?
She
comments.
Asks the hard-hitting questions.
The hard-hitting questions.
Yeah. Yes.
So we did see Carol have dinner with Ramona, and Ramona was trying to get advice from Carol because she thought Carol was a voice of reason, but Carol couldn't really seem to handle her, so she switched the conversation. And I think who Ramona should really be talking with now is Aviva, because clearly Aviva is now kind of in the middle of it.
Now, wait, did you think that Ramona didn't or Carol couldn't handle Ramona, or did you think that Carol couldn't basically
nope.
gave up on the fact that Ramona was not taking any advice that she actually willingly asked for?
I think it was a mixture of both. I think Carol really could care less to get a handle on Ramona, and I think you kind of try to control the conversation. Like Carol said, she said something like, I wanted to speak to Ramona in her logic to try to get the most out of it, and even that didn't work, so I gave up. So I think Carol was trying to kind of play a game, in a sense, in the way she was talking with Ramona to try to make it sane. And it didn't work, so she switched. But I don't think that was that important. Basically, I kind of want to get to Aviva with now kind of getting in the middle of things, because since like the first episode, I've been saying she is now trying to push everyone's buttons, but yet still play Miss Nice with everybody. And I think now it's coming full circle, trying to get her in the butt a little bit.
Go ahead, Anna.
Well,
fire down.
We've been saying from the beginning that Aviva's playing both sides. I don't know that it would have caught up with her this quickly had Heather not asked to bring Aviva over into their conversation. Well, maybe we should ask Aviva about this since Aviva's here. And I mean, I guess in a sense, I could see where Heather's coming from. Like, let's just like nip this drama in the bud. Let's not play like another she said.
She said she's Anne.
But at the same time, I kind of feel like this is Heather and Ramona's fight. Like, why don't you ladies fight it out and leave everybody else out of it? I'm just, and I know it wouldn't be as mildly entertaining a show as it is without involving all the other ladies, but I just really, you know, and especially because Heather was recognizing that Aviva's trying to be the peacemaker, leave the peacemaker alone, you know, leave her
exactly.
out of this.
Exactly.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I don't know. I was, quite frankly, I'll be truthful. I was thoroughly annoyed by Aviva just because I had no understanding of why she continually made the point at each of her interactions with Ramona and Heather about or anybody else that she was hanging out with. Well, Ramona's really, you know, upset that she isn't, you know, invited. And she kept making that point. Even when the conversation flowed naturally to some other topic, she'd keep bringing it up. And then she gets annoyed that she, you know, quote unquote, got thrown under the bus. But instead of saying, I don't want to get in the middle of it, she stays there. If you feel like you get thrown under the bus, then excuse, you know, politely excuse yourself and say,
yeah,
you go ahead, you two, it's your thing. I don't want to say. But then she stayed there and then she tried to, you know, be the mediator, and then she failed, and then she walked away and then got upset that they were still continuing to not get along. And then I'm pretty sure she's just going to continue to just flame the fire.
Yeah.
I don't see her changing her ways. This was ridiculous. I don't understand why she gives so much a damn about what's going on in other people's lives when she probably should just be figuring out what's going on in hers.
Yeah, this is very this seems like very typical behavior that happens with women. You want to play both sides. And it's not really possible, so you can only do it for so long. And it's almost like I think you get something out of it. You get something like, it's a little bit of a rush, you're kind of playing a game, and I think Aviva enjoys it, because I do think Aviva is slightly bored in life.
Yeah.
Well, it's possible. She's the one that's, you know, born in, she says it herself, born and bred in New York. So it's like she's got her husband. She doesn't really do much outside of that. She can't even go to London without his approval and the clearance for the kids. And what else? That's it.
I thought that she wasn't going to London because she's afraid of small machines that she could get stuck in, like the time with her leg.
Well, it's possible.
I love how we mentioned that now every episode. We're going to do the machine. We're going to do a machine reference.
We're not doing anything that she doesn't do already, right. Kristen. That's the thing. It's like we keep talking about it because, correct me if I'm wrong, but did she not take like a record time before she mentioned it herself in this episode?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. You said a record amount of time?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I just look for the first allusion to it. Now I'm just like clocking it as like, when is the first allusion we make to her leg? And it's every time I'm like, oh, wow, they beat themselves by 30 seconds this week. Excellent.
Yeah.
Well, you guys did, I think Anna said this earlier, Aviva was annoyed that Heather mentioned her leg, but then she'll always go to mention it also first, you know?
Yeah.
And this is going to be a horrible pun, but I feel like she uses her leg as a crutch.
No, it's
oh,
good.
That's an awesome pun. Horrible, I mean awesome.
But
I really think she does.
Well, why doesn't she like?
I think that's her go-to, to be funny or to be witty or to make herself likable.
How does it make sense that she doesn't like to draw attention to her feet when what she talks about is her leg?
Because she's not
right. Exactly.
I loved how upset she got, or how upset the woman who owned the store, I can't remember her name, but she owned the clothing store that Heather's friends with.
Oh, yeah.
And she like corrected Heather. She's like, why didn't you tell me not to offer shoes?
Yeah. She was like visibly bothered. And then they just both sit there and they're like, oh my God, what have we done?
Yeah. This is uncomfortable.
Yeah.
Hilarious.
It's almost like somebody's like, I'm going to sue you for saying anything. You're liable. And then they had this look on her face like, devastated. Oh my God. Why? Why didn't you tell us?
Yeah. Well, I feel like clothes salesmen people are the worst anyway to begin with, which is a personal opinion. But I don't tell anybody that. So Aviva is now obviously not going. And what I did see was Aviva distance herself from Ramona because she said, and this is why Aviva's getting to me because.
Yeah.
Am I giving you guys like crazy feedback?
No.
It might be just in yours.
Okay. She basically said at the beginning of the episode, this doesn't make me glued to Ramona now. Just so everyone knows, I'm still a cool girl, is basically what she said.
Yeah, and doesn't she say another allusion, even when they're shopping, doesn't she say something like, again, she brings up, she's like, this doesn't mean I'm not going to get invited to other trips, right? I mean, you guys know I'm not coming because I just can't with the husband and the closed spaces and my leg thing. Doesn't she say something like that too, I believe?
Well, yeah, she throws Ramona under the bus in a sense, saying that, you know, I don't want you to think that I'm like Team Ramona now. Please still invite me to other trips.
Oh, that's right. Yes.
Right. What happens to these girls, though, like in high school, are like they then become the bullied because they're showing weakness because she's showing vulnerability that she wants to be such good friends with them that now they can take advantage of knowing that she's kind of desperate for their friendship and possibly turn on her.
Gotcha. Mm. Yeah. I don't know. Like I said, I think Aviva really needs to, I don't know. It's going to get uglier and uglier and uglier the more she brings it up. But I mean, I don't know if she's doing it because she was encouraged by the producers to stir stuff up or if that's really her nature or they're just desperately, any of the girls are desperately trying to make the show more interesting or something like that. Or make themselves look more interesting. But I feel like this is just going nowhere but a very bad place.
A very bad place like Ramona's butt, which is dark and...
Right.
Something.
Yeah. And there was just a slew of phenomenal quotes this episode. I think I wrote them all down because I was like, oh, that's good too.
Well, maybe we can get to those. Maybe we'll, unless you have more to say about this, Kristen.
No, I was just going to say, if we want to go to commercial, we can come back and do the awesome quote segment.
Rad.
Fantastic.
Do it.
Hey there, good buddies. The handle's Wooly Bear. I'm a truck driving man, but I'm not that old school kind of truck driving man. No, I like to listen to podcasts while I'm driving through these great United States of ours. And my favorite podcasts in the world are from AfterBuzz TV. And why? Because AfterBuzz TV is like a post-game wrap-up show for all your favorite TV shows, like Jersey Shore, Dancing with the Stars, Mad Men, and a whole truckload more. I like listening to my Gossip Girl podcast, catching up with all my fellow fans and getting all the latest news and gossip. know I got some strong opinions. And AfterBuzz TV lets me share those opinions with thousands of other listeners. Woo-wee, what a feeling. I used to doze off on those lonely stretches of road. And don't worry, I got the cruise control. But now I'm wide awake and listening to all the AfterBuzz TV goodness. Check them out. Give them a holler. And tell them the old Woolly Bear sent you.
Well, welcome back. We're here buzzing away about The Real Housewives of New York City. I'm on a couple here with Yearmonger and...
Kristen Carney.
Nice. Yeah.
And what are we doing now?
Let's dive right into some news and gossip.
AfterBuzz TV News.
So I think we might have a little bit of news regarding the exit of the cast members from the last season. Anna, do you want to go ahead and give them that news since you're in the studio?
Well,
yeah, this just in.
No, I think Yerman does. He has it too.
What? No, I thought I was doing something interesting by finding news and gossip. Little did I know that most likely it's the internet age and everybody else would find the same thing. Yay! It's fine. They were just an interesting article that had a couple of juicy bits. Obviously, Andy Cohen apparently has finally spilled the beans on the firings that shook the cast and the show's fans, but he basically attributed to research. And research meaning numbers. Like, he goes, any credited research for the reasoning behind the firings, quote, we snort up research like fine Colombian cocaine, he admitted, of the Bravo Meisters approach to determining what viewers want. Well done. Well done word, by the way, Bravo Meisters. But apparently he's like, I love Twitter because it's a live focus group, said Andy, explaining that one reason certain cast members of Roni were let go was because of negative feedback about them on social media. And then there's another one down here further along that in other Roni news, that Sonia Morgan and Luanda Lesseps are flaunting their friendship in Pino Singer's face, apparently. Don't they know she'll explode and start spewing grape-aid poison all over the streets of Manhattan? Luanda and Sonia spent the weekend together in the Hamptons and posted some photos on Twitter. Somewhere, Ramona is fuming and fermenting the perfect wine in her brain.
I love it.
Oh, my God. She even apparently had a tweet, at Sonia Morgan is staying with me this weekend in the Hamptons. It's going to be a fun weekend. Smiley face XO, Luann tweeted.
Oh, dear.
Yeah.
The only reason Luann tweeted that so Ramona would see it.
Yeah, exactly. Nicely 100%. Done. 100%. Nicely done. So that's my news and gossip. What? What else?
Go ahead, Kristen.
Sorry. I was just going to say... with the tweeting of opinions of people on The Housewives, does that make sense that they should listen that intently to viewers? Because sometimes viewers don't always know best. Because I think I personally miss the cast, and I think the new cast is starting to go somewhere, but I don't think you should let people who don't have a degree in television control your television.
A degree in television.
Dude, that's awesome.
they hand those out like candy. Those degrees in television.
Well, is that a double-edged sword?
But the other thing is, like, why isn't Teresa Giudice gone by now then? And what about, Housewives of Jersey, Real Housewives of Beverly Hills, Camille Graham. Everybody hated her. Everybody hated her. I hated her. And now I liked her, season two. Yeah, I think that, I don't know. Does he just give them a couple of seasons or how does
exactly
this go?
Where's that fine line between listening to your viewers and realizing that your viewers are what makes your show? I mean, this is reality television. It's not like you can blame it on the writing or the production value or, I don't know, something else that a scripted television series can attribute failings or successes to. It's people are watching it to see reality happen, real characters playing themselves. So I think it's a fine line.
They have to be interesting.
Yeah, I mean, we live in a society where everyone's opinion matters.
Right.
And a lot of my favorite people in the world would say not everyone's opinion matters, except everyone who listens to AfterBuzz TV.
Exactly.
Yeah.
You guys are awesome.
But I come from that kind of, like, I hate to say school of thought, but it's like everyone has an opinion. And it's like if you encourage opinions sometimes, you just kind of encourage just the chaos. Like I when I read an article on Huffington Post, I don't scroll down to read the comments because I don't really care what people think a lot of the time because their opinions drive me crazy. So it's like, I feel like it's just a dangerous zone to get into when you start just listening to what people say on Twitter. Because people will say anything on Twitter. There's no filter. There's no real thought always going on behind that.
Absolutely legitimate. Now, here's an interesting question. Is Andy Cohen telling the truth? There's also that. Like, is he saying this
to empower his audience? Is he saying this to make them feel better? We're talking about a man who's at what now? A magnate for all intents and purposes. He's a reality television mogul. Does he need to listen to viewers? Can he just make his own decisions? Doesn't he trust himself? Or is he making this a gesture towards his fans to let them know that, like, I'm listening to you. You guys are awesome. Thank you so much for your viewership. Did he actually listen to the Twitter research, or did he just want to make some moves?
Well, I have a quote from him.
Go ahead, Emma.
I have a quote from him from Ad Age. It's a very clever title. That he says of himself, "I'm the biggest shit stirrer on the planet, and I get paid to do it," which is, you know, great, good for you.
Yeah.
To your point, Yerman, that is this really a response from what fans have said, or is he just stirring the pot?
Right. Right. That's what I'm wondering. Kristen, do you think he's telling the truth about the whole Twitter thing, or is he just doing, is he got another motive?
No, I don't know. I think he's actually listening to people. I think he's kind of getting lazy. I think he's doing other things and has other things going on. So, you know, it's almost like, all right, I'll just bend over and do what other people want at this point because I'm too busy to think about it on my own. That's kind of how I think.
Right,
but I'm also not
show.
A very contrived person, so I don't know. He may have a strategy behind it that I'm not smart enough to see.
So is he? You ladies had mentioned that he's not actively editing either this show or multiple shows anymore. So is he possibly using his viewership and those Twitter feeds and other stuff, other input feeds, as a way of gauging how his shows are doing while he's not actively supervising them?
Well, this is the first season that he has not been actively supervising, so so it's possible, but not probable.
Exactly.
Well, before we start doing predictions, we have a special segment that we love,
and we hope you do too.
Called What She Should Have Said. And I think, Yerman, you have like a slew of quotes for us this evening.
I think the wonderful thing about this segment is it's grown now to not just what she should have said for the Countess Luann, but just funny quotes that we think, really, that's how you want to put it? And yeah, I've got a bunch of them. You want me to go through them?
I think we could also call it Things I'm Glad She Said.
Yeah, that's very true. Yes, Things We're Glad She Said, because they were worth writing down.
Well, I have what she should have said.
Yes.
Maybe I can open with that.
Throw it.
But when Luann, and we didn't really talk about this, but Luann went to acupuncture to maybe get pregnant, or to help her along with the pregnancy. You know, the nurse asked her several questions about her day-to-day living, and one of them was, how many drinks do you have a day? And she said, you know, 1 to 2 glasses of wine a night with dinner. And the nurse said, we call that moderate around here. But what she should have said was, Luann, it sounds like you have a drinking problem.
Yeah.
Everybody drinks 2 glasses of wine a night.
Or just tell it to her straight. Like, Luann, you're 47. You're trying to have children. You should just not be drinking, period, if you want to be trying to have children for the last year and a half.
That's a better point. That's a much better point.
Right. Luann, you're not European.
Yeah. And she threw,
sorry, excellent. It ain't happening.
Excellent, Kristen. And she threw in as like, well, Europeans, of course. You're like, back when I was in London eating with the Duchess of York,
right. We
were having 3 glasses of wine. That's how the Europeans do it.
Yeah, it's like, well, Asians study a lot of math. I'm not going to just become a math whiz because I use the term Asian all the time.
Right.
Yeah.
Kristen, how about you? What about some things she should not have said, or we're glad she said?
I really liked things I did not like. One I did not like was when Sonia said, "This is Sonia's school of hard knocks."
Yeah.
No, it's not hard knocks. You live in a home in a very affluent city, and if it was hard knocks, they'd be in Africa working. They wouldn't be in your home working. So
totally.
It's not hard knocks. It's annoying. It's annoying as hell. It's a school of annoying knocks.
Yeah.
Hard knocks.
Yeah. Totally agree.
But the three-story townhouse in the Upper East Side isn't.
Yeah. If that's hard knocks, then we should all be so lucky.
Right.
Yeah. Somewhere out there, Jay-Z's like, oh, my God, what the hell are you doing to my song? That's messed up. No, there was
Annie. Annie is saying.
Yeah.
That's a good point.
What are you doing?
Annie.
That's mine.
Gotcha. There were a bunch of them for me. I mean, I was just tickled pink by a bunch of things people said. Aviva to Heather says, I think Ramona is really hurt. And I do when they're having lunch, and I do think she was excluded. The only thing I'm worried about for you and Ramona is that you guys got off on the wrong foot, which is my good one. That was like about a minute five into the episode. That was a new record breaker. Thank you, Aviva.
That was something I'm glad she said.
Yeah, exactly. Heather throws out, I'm trying to figure out when Aviva and Ramona became such diehard BFFs. When did Aviva crawl so far up Ramona's ass? I mean, don't go there. It's not nice. It's dark and it's not good. Ladies and gentlemen, if you were wondering, Ramona's ass is dark and it's not good.
Yeah.
You heard it here first, AfterBuzz exclusive.
Go there.
AfterBuzz TV exclusive.
Thank you very little. Luann, after that also awesome comment about how Europeans apparently drink more than two glasses of wine even when they're 47 and trying to have kids, she goes, I just expected to be pregnant by now, much to my surprise. Dun, 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 dun. Really? Surprise?
Well, Fruit of Myrtle, I think, took a wander off into the pasture maybe sooner than she had anticipated.
Oh, my God. Sonia throws out, when she's talking about her interns, it's called an internship because they're not paid, they get credit at school, and they get a lifelong list of experience. Forget the grammatical errors. That throws into the Hard Knocks thing you just talked about, Kristen. I don't know. I'm just saying. And then she throws out, I couldn't do any of this. Speaking of Hard Knocks, apparently her idea of Hard Knocks is, I couldn't do any of this without help. I mean, when I was married, I had 75 in help, but of course had five houses and a yacht, so I don't need so much now. But I do need 1 to 2 or 3 interns a day. and then later that episode, she actually says, she talks about Christian Mingle with her interns. Mm-hmm. And what she said was, it's like the opposite of Muslim Mingle. What she should have said is nothing.
Yeah.
Yeah. What she should have said is nothing. Just explain Christian Mingle is a service where people that are Christian go out. You don't have to make it into a Muslim Mingle, Christian Mingle, Jewish Mingle thing.
Right. And why do people know more about Muslim Mingle than they do Christian Mingle in Sonia's world?
I don't know.
I've heard of Christian Mingle. Okay.
She's like, she said she had a lot of Muslim friends or something, didn't she?
She's lying. It's like she has a lot of black friends, I bet.
Oh, my God. Carol at one point says, I like to date men my exact own age, between 37 and 45. Miss Carol, I like you a lot. Here's the thing. When you throw out the word exact own age, you can't give a range right afterwards. You have to actually just pick a number, one number. And then Heather says,
your mom, I love your call out on that, but I think she was trying to be funny.
Well, I know, but then you can't claim to be a journalist. I mean, journalism is based on exact facts, exact details, and dotting your I's and crossing your T's. You can't throw out stuff like that unless you want somebody like me to be like, wait, what?
Well, she also
Anna, I'm sorry.
My point was dumb.
Oh,
I just stopped talking.
Awesome. Heather at one point says, your legs are so skinny you'd have knobby knees anyway, to Aviva. Anyone besides me not understand that exactly?
Made no sense.
Anyone? No. Good.
Bueller.
All right. And then finally, Carol says, she came in with, I'll match your TV series with a case of wine at Target. Okay. That was one of those, I think, things I'm glad she said. That was fantastic.
Yeah.
What was up with Ramona for trying so hard to jump right in? Is that just a big insecurity flag or what?
Really? Really? And she said, she's like, do you want me to tell you guys about something that's happening for me too?
And they're all like, okay.
No,
they're like, well,
really.
we're literally just hugging here about Carol's news. What are you talking about?
Yeah. Yeah.
And sad. That's it.
All we got. Okay.
That's all I got.
Prediction?
And now, your AfterBuzz TV predictions.
Who would like to start us out?
Via satellite, go. That's you, Kristen.
Oh, via satellite. Okay.
Yes.
I usually just answer to hey, Ethel. Let's see. I think Aviva and Ramona are going to have a run-in. I think we might have said that last episode. I think them being left to their own devices, Aviva is going to be afraid that she's going to be associated with Ramona, and I think Aviva is going to distance herself, and Ramona is going to be offended, and there's going to have something go on there. And then also, Heather is going to make a fool of herself in London in front of her coworkers, and would wish Ramona was there to make her look better.
Nice twist.
Well, sort of piggybacking on that, I predict that the girls are going to have a hard time in London. I think there will be fighting.
Yeah. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, that's.
I definitely want to piggyback on that too. I mean, I think that was kind of alluded to in the previews of next week, but I thought it would be interesting to see that whole thing with Heather's argument saying, well, I don't want Ramona around because I don't want it to reflect badly on my business, blow up in her face when she herself makes a complete rear end of herself, either by getting too drunk or saying something inappropriate at the wrong time and things going south for that trip. And then another prediction of mine was actually along with something you said, Kristen, I do think that this stuff with the book and the TV series might take off, and maybe we will see Carol be like, you guys are bunk, I'm outie bin Laden, and then be like, peace out, and then just leave the show. I don't know.
Yeah. I think Carol's using this as a platform for that. And then I think once she's achieved her mission, she will abort mission and, you know, go on to live a very beautiful life.
Apparently she's gonna have a beautiful life.
All right, well, cool. Thank you everybody for joining us at a special time today. Yes. Join us, we will be back next week at our same time. What time is that? 9 o'clock? Great.
9 p.m.
9 p.m. Pacific PST. Standard Time. I've been Anna Koppel tonight. You can follow me at Koppel for Mayor, KOPPELFORMAYOR.
Kristen, go ahead.
Hey guys, check out my blog, thatthesmallstuffwithkristen.com, and like it on Facebook. You can also follow me on Twitter at Kristen Carney, KRIKENTARNDY.
Fantastic. And you can follow me, everyone, at Twitter, Yermanger, YERMANGUR. And you can also catch me right here buzzing about True Blood Sunday nights at 9 p.m. Be there.
Be there.
And thank you.
And thanks.
Thanks.
From Bing.com, executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.